Hi, I'm Dave Crossan. I'm the CEO of Indy Creek Foundation. Indy Creek has three major divisions of service. Residential, which is providing a living arrangement for folks that may be in a group home, that might be in their own apartment with just a little bit of support. Just depends what they need.
Two people, me and Daniel, do the dishes, clean the tables.
Then we have vocational training. Quite similarly, we have a program which is in-house, which provides a lot of support. People do bulk mailing and packaging and projects like that, light assembly.
I like to be there, make money, and work hard.
I just do like mailing and skills and jobs that they have. That's what I do, and I'm doing good at it.
Good morning, and welcome to It's a New Day. What you're hearing right there is a promotional video for the Indian Creek Foundation, and we actually have the Director of Development for the Indian Creek Foundation in studio with us this morning, Brett Wells. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I think that's a very well-done video, and what you're hearing there is you're hearing different special needs individuals talking about how they were so appreciative of the services that Indian Creek offers. And what we love to do here on the program, it's a new day, by the way. You could call in at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255 or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levin's here. But you could go ahead and call in with questions for Brett about his business, or it's not really business, so it's nonprofit. You guys do a lot in the community, and it's a great service for the community.
It really is, and nonprofits, you know, we operate structurally and everything like a business, and you know, it's kind of a misnomer sometimes that we're not in it for the money. We're in it to serve and make a difference. But you know, we function just like any other corporate organization too.
And the structure is necessary because, you know, that's what makes things happen, you know, and that's just, you know, it's just an inherent part of getting things done.
Exactly. In order to meet our goals, in order to reach out to the community that we serve, you know, that structure is necessary to make sure that we're being responsible stewards of our funds and our donations, and we're, you know, reporting and being accountable to our board of directors. You know, it's a very exciting place and a really vibrant place that we're operating too.
And the reason that we have you on, and we love to bring on different businesses, organizations that are actively involved in the community, and just to promote the heck out of you guys, because you guys are doing a great thing in our community, and people need to know about it.
They certainly do, and I'll you know, in all honesty, I've been with the organization about 2 months now. Found them online during a job search, and I was surprised that they were there. You know, I don't think that people, unless you're in the Indian Valley area of Montgomery County, I don't know how much attention that part of the county gets. And it's kind of unfortunate, because what I've discovered in just a very short time is it's a very tight-knit community, a very active business community, a community whose organizations and nonprofits collaborate and work together with each other. And it really even goes back to the roots of our organization. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary, but as far back as
congratulations,
thank you very much. And we barely look a day over 30 too.
We're good.
You know, our roots go back to about the early 60s though, with the Mennonite Church in the Indian Valley area. And there was a member of one of the congregations had a child who was born with Down syndrome. And looking back at the old history and some of the notes of this group getting together, one of the things they decided to do was, in order for this community to still be relevant and vibrant, they decided to start taking care of their own. And that led to our incorporation in 1975 and the growth into the three divisions that you heard Dave talk about in the video at the beginning, and the services we offer today. So the core of this is really a community that came together to take care of a few of their own people, and that really is what drives our mission to this point still.
Which we need to do as American citizens. We need to be able to come together, and we need to be able to be that community for our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, of course, is what Christ told us, the famous golden rule saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, and we always try to get the Christian perspective here on It's a New Day, but it's so comforting to hear that members of the community are getting around those who do need an extra helping hand and are getting involved with their money, with their resources, with their time.
Right.
So, and that video, by the way, was a video we were playing off of their website. That's IndCreek.org. There was a little beginning video just kind of telling you about Indian Creek. Brett, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about those three divisions and what you do?
Sure. And this is really at the core of how we accomplish our mission. We have a behavioral health services department. They do a lot of outpatient work. It's a separate facility on our main campus in Souderton. They do intakes and assessments for people with autism spectrum disorder or any other developmental disabilities. They offer counseling. They offer family therapy. They do programs in terms of like structured socialization type things. They also do a really cool program after school for youth with autism spectrum disorder. That's it's kind of like if you're familiar with like the YMCA after school program or something like that. It's a traditional type thing like that that deals a lot with socialization skills and structure. But I stopped in yesterday and I got out of my office and got into a program for a little bit, which is always nice to do. And got to watch the teachers work with the kids that were in the program and got to watch the kids interact and get redirected sometimes into things that were more socially appropriate. And just had such a great feeling when I walked out of that room, just in terms of what they're doing at a hands-on grassroots level with, you know, the kids one-on-one. But then again, for what we do as an organization, because those are the folks that are going to make it happen for us. And those are the families that really need us. As I walked out of this classroom yesterday, it was the last thing that happened before I got in the car. One of the kids looked up and said, "Mr. Brett, you're a nice man." And I just kind of stopped and I smiled and I said, "Well, thank you. You're a nice guy too." And the rest of the ride home, the 30 minutes back from Souderton to Trooper, I had a smile plastered to my face that you couldn't have gotten off of me the whole time.
You must have. I've got one plastered on my face from you just telling me about it. I mean, that must have been the best compliment you've gotten.
It's doing that. And it's just kind of fun that you're in a community and dealing with people in situations that truly appreciate the services that we're providing. Like our residential services program, to get back on our question originally here, we have 23 residential facilities out within 10 miles of our main campus in Souderton. Those are staffed 24 hours a day. There's anywhere from 2 to either 6 or 8 individuals living in each one, with varying degrees of developmental and intellectual disabilities. But they all want to be parts of their community. They want to be out there and interact and not just be in a sterile setting where they're being cared for in a home. And that's really one of the exciting things about what we do is this is about making folks with developmental disabilities integral parts of their community and be active and going to the park and going to the movies and shopping for groceries and being independent. And you heard in the video the one of our clients talking about he's washing the dishes and cleaning the table and just being, you know, community starts in your home and becoming a part of a functioning unit. And then that carries outside the doors, you know, out into the streets as well. So it's, you know, what's happening is really very exciting. And then I think back onto the independence thing and being productive and contributing, we have a whole vocational services department that offers just a tremendous amount of services for folks, again, that we're serving. From the very basic job skills development, where somebody who's not quite ready to work but can develop the skills and do that, to our facility-based workshop program where if you've ever bought a computer or a TV and you see that the power cord wrapped up and bundled together, that's one of the things that our clients do in terms of service for these businesses that we serve. So they're doing piecework, they're doing ceiling, heat sealing, putting tile samples together, and they're getting paid to do this. And then externally, we have another transitional employment program where work teams go out into the community and they do. We have cleaning contracts with local businesses. We have, there's any number of different services that they perform as well. And I should mention that if you are a business owner, if you're involved in a business and you need piece work done, laboring done, or if you need somebody to come into your facility and perform a service, those things are available. And if you go to the website, increek.org, and click on the ICF Solutions tab, You'll learn more about that and can find out how to connect with our vocational services people.
And be a part of the community and really helping, because that's a huge problem for the special needs community, is actually keeping a steady line of work.
It's, I think, and that's part of what our vocational staff does, is goes out there and looks for enough clients and enough businesses so that these folks who want to be active and want to be involved can do that. And it's really, you know, for them, it's a labor of love. They're going out and meeting business leaders and shaking hands and passing out business cards and trying to build that base of people so that our clients really can be as active and involved and engaged as they want to be.
And that is something that's actually crucial, I would think, also for their health and for helping them, like you said, socialization skills and things like that, actually getting out there and interacting with people. Sometimes there's a fear associated with someone who's special needs. We don't know what to do or what to say or how to act, but sometimes just that interaction is a good thing. We're running up to a break here. And we'll have to come back, but I want to bring you back for the next segment.
Sure.
And we'll go ahead and talk a little bit more about what you guys are doing and how rewarding your job in particular
it
probably
is. It most definitely is.
So thank you so much for serving in the community this way. You're watching. I'm about to cue up a video for the sound. That's why I'm thinking you're watching. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here. We have Brett E. Wells in studio of the Indian Creek Foundation, Director of Development. We'll be back right after this.
And then let them have that job on their own. Our third division is behavior health. This is where we incorporate services to children with autism, as well as people with an dual diagnosis.
Join us for the 2015 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, the premier gathering of conservatives each year here in Pennswood.
Our third division is behavior health. This is where we incorporate services to children with autism, as well as people with an dual diagnosis of an intellectual disability and a mental health disorder.
I like coming here because I like making new friends.
Pretty much like I am. Good experience to be here.
Our philosophy of care is a way that staff are trained, and it's kind of a culture here of the expectations of how staff should treat each other, staff should treat the clients in our services, and it really hits home, you know, our expectations for, you know, not only how we would want to be treated as individuals, but how we hope our staff treat the clients, the adults and the children who are here as part of our programs.
It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. What you're listening to is a promotional video on the website for the Indian Creek Foundation that specializes in special needs care and socialization and finding employment for special needs individuals. I love how they call them clients. Not necessarily special needs individuals, but that they're clients to you. That's a little bit more distinguished.
Clients, consumers, you know, people that we're providing a service to, that, you know, they have expectations of us, and we need to meet those expectations and deliver on that every day.
And that's a great expectation to have, in that you are helping them grow as an individual and get more involved in the community and be able to relate, whether that be socially or through a job or even to their very own families, helping them to be able to relate to others,
mm-hmm.
Through whatever they may be dealing with. And oftentimes you find that the special need, quote unquote, actually is a very great part of their personality.
It's to walk into our building, this happens to me almost daily, to walk into our front lobby when people are coming in to start their day, staff or clients, or to be there at the end of the day when the transportation folks are picking their clients up and taking them home. It's just such a happy place. People belong there. People know that they're doing something good there. And not just our staff, but the clients that we're serving know that they're doing something useful and important and playing a role in the community. They're earning money. They get to spend that money on things that they want. Like anyone else who wants to earn money and take care of their needs from time to time too. So it really, I think we kind of blur that line a little bit between, you know, the special needs community and the rest of the community and just put everyone kind of in that blur.
And that's how it needs to be in large part. You know, God made many individuals different. That is for certain. And some of them are different because of medical reasons or different things like that, but that doesn't make them any different necessarily of a person on the inside. Maybe they have to communicate differently or do things a little differently, but you very much find in this line of work, I would imagine, that the individual is still very much evident.
Very much so, and in some cases, really, really evident. There's some folks that are in our vocational services department that I think they're de facto managers at this point, that when tours come through, they'll start leading the tours or will sort of their personalities take over the room when the opportunity presents itself. And I think it lends itself to just basic human nature that we all want to be doing something useful and important. We all want to feel that our work is relevant. You know, my grandmother used to say, if you're going to be a ditch digger, be the best ditch digger you can be. If you're going to be a ditch digger, feel good about being a ditch digger. If you're going to be a development director in a nonprofit, feel good about that. That I think everyone wants to get that emotional return on what they do, regardless of what your situation is and how you were put on the earth.
And we have on the air with us Brett Wells. That's who you hear talking. He is Director of Development for the Indian Creek Foundation. And you're listening to It's a New Day. You could call in, by the way. Let your voice be heard at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. Or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. If you have a question for Brett, who's in studio with us right now. So tell us a little bit more about the Indian Creek Foundation and about that third division. Did we covered the first two, I believe.
We've covered behavioral health, residential, and vocational, the three divisions. So we've hit them. Our non-clinical division is our administrative side, and particularly the development division, which I can definitely get into and have a few things I'd like to talk about this morning before we're done too.
That's why we have you here.
Well, this is part of the development process, getting out into the community, you know, getting into broadcast media, working with social media, and letting people know we're here. I call it the part where we jump up and down and get really loud so people know that we're out there and doing something. And I think that's really relevant to the Indian Valley because, again, I think it's tucked away and so insulated that sometimes we don't really remember it's there, and it's just beautiful country. I love my commute back and forth to work every day, too. But if you really want to get a chance to see the Indian Valley in all its glory, on June 20th, we're doing an event called the Roll and Stroll. It's our 24th annual event. It's a huge community event. It's a walk and a bicycle ride. You can do either or. The walk is 1K, so if you're kind of a weekend warrior and just want to travel around the community, there's a 1K walk, there's a 5K walk run, there's a 10K walk run. If you're a bicyclist, we have bicycle routes that go 10 miles, 29 miles, 39 miles, or 64 miles. So if you have a desire to see the Indian Valley and some of the other surrounding parts of the community, we have that opportunity for you. That information can be found at the website, indcreek.org. It's also on our Facebook page. Just Indian Creek Foundation is how to find us there. We also have a separate website for the Roll and Stroll event, just rollandstroll.com, and that'll take you to all the details of the event, the fee structure, where the funds go to, the schedule for the day. Obviously, some of the longer rides start earlier in the morning, so they have more time to get out. But you'll travel either right within Souderton, or you'll be all the way out as far from Souderton as New Hanover Township and Green Lane before you come back in, too. So that weekend has historically, I've been involved in other events, and that particular weekend has always been beautiful. I can't see my streak ending anytime soon. So I encourage folks to come out for that. If you're not a walker or a runner, there's going to be food, live music, raffles, prizes, giveaways, so that you can still come out and participate and just be a part of kind of the carnival atmosphere that'll be happening on the campus all day, too.
And what weekend is that going to be again?
That's Saturday, June 20th, right at our facility on 420 Calpath Road in Souderton.
June 20th, 2 days before my birthday, actually.
We should have planned it 2 days later and had you come up.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. We'll have to do, I'll have to come over there and with my family, we'll do like a pre-birthday day out or something.
And
like
I'll give you a birthday t-shirt just for you being there.
That'd be wonderful. You know what, though? It's not about that, though. You know, it's about raising awareness about the Indian Creek Foundation. It's about getting people to get involved, whether it's volunteering or donating. What do, as we wrap up, we got about 2 minutes left here, but Brett, what is the best way, if someone wants to donate or just get involved, volunteer, to get in contact with the Indian Creek Foundation?
The best way is our website, www.indcreek.org. Nice and short, easy to put in your browser.
Mm-hmm.
There is a contact tab on there. My information's there, plus the information for all the other division heads and some of our managers that handle special events and things. And we do need volunteers. We need people that come out and do one-on-one work. We need corporate groups to come in and help around the facility. We're always looking for volunteers for the Roll and Stroll event because it's a huge effort. When you're spread out across 64 miles, you need a lot of people to make it work. Donors, certainly we need donors. We have programs that are underfunded or unfunded that need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we reach out to the community, whether it's individuals, corporations, foundations, to make that happen and grow the organization. And those dollars go right back to the people that need it.
And whether you are thinking about possibly getting involved as a volunteer or donating, I'm sure just like with every organization like this, every helping hand matters.
Exactly. You can make a difference whether you're doing an hour a week or 5 hours a week. Everything is going to have an impact on the people that we're serving.
And it's great that you're having that impact and that you're doing this around the community. Again, Brett Wells in studio with us today as we wrap up this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us on the air this morning.
We really appreciate it.
We really appreciate you. So keep doing the great work you're doing out there. Like them on Facebook. That's the Indian Creek Foundation. Like them on Facebook. I'm sure you guys have a Twitter page as well, so they have everything in social media. Maybe not, he's shaking his head at me, but like them on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. If you're listening, hey, you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, what are you doing? Like us on Facebook. 1180 AM WFYL. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some more items in the news, your Ukrainian update, right after this on It's a New Day. Welcome back to It's a New Day. Thank you so much for joining us on the air this morning. You can call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. You can also call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. It's a New Day. You can also email at a flash at michael@1180wfyl.com. That's michael@1180wfyl.com. Thank you so much again for listening to the program this morning. So, the Clinton Foundation won't stop accepting donations from foreign governments. Surprise, surprise! The Clinton Foundation said late Wednesday it's going to continue to accept donations from foreign governments during Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, which, by the way, well, we all know she's announced now, but taking the Scooby van, going to Chipotle, I've heard that talked about ad nauseum. But she, Hillary Clinton is a she. She is, I mean, there's no debate about that, right? She is a she. They're not talking about any kind of weird stuff going on. You know, I was watching Cops the other night. And I love that show. I love it so much. And we're having in our house right now a young woman from Indonesia. She was met by my father actually, and while he was doing ministry over there as a missionary, and she's actually ministers as well at a YWAM in Indonesia, and we're having her in our house for a week. And we were watching Cops last night, and in Indonesia, the cops are atrocious. They are the most corrupt force that they actually replace organized crime. My father actually posed a question to her when he was over there in Indonesia and said, do you have a problem with crime? I shouldn't say that was posed to her. It may have been posed to another individual in Indonesia, but, you know, do you have a problem with crime? And the answer was, no, we don't We don't need organized crime. We have the police. The police are openly corrupt. They take bribes on the street. I've talked about this before in the on the program when the I feel like there's a bunch of these Muslim holidays. I'm not so versed on them. I don't feel like I need to be versed on them. Of course, we don't know with changing cultural dynamics. Maybe I'll end up getting versed on them. But it was a Muslim holiday in Indonesia when my father was abroad doing missionary work. And police were stopping every car. And my father asked, well, why? Why are they stopping every car? Well, because of this Muslim holiday, they were stopping people and basically forcing them to give them money. They were basically extorting people for money. And if you didn't give them money, they'd haul you off to jail. Why did they need the money? They needed it to celebrate the Muslim holiday. How hypocritical is that? They needed the money so that they could, because in this holiday, apparently, when my father was over there, what happens is you're supposed to, I guess it's an equivalent to the Catholic Lent, where you're supposed to give up some different things, and I guess it's on a daily basis, though. And then at night, everyone goes buck wild, and, you know, they parties and all sorts of stuff. So they were hitting people up for money. And we were watching Cops the other night, and it was the funniest thing. Because we're sitting there and I'm telling her, you know, this is a, because I think the majority of cops, they're good people. And they are really putting, at least in our country, they're putting their lives on the line to protect us. And we're very thankful for our men and women in uniform. But we're watching this. And I'm telling her, yeah, you know, this is how it is here in America. You know, they read you what's called Miranda rights. You know, these are your rights. And she's sitting there going, oh, really? What? And her English is very good. She has an accent, Indonesian accent, but her English is very good. And she was like, really? And she was just amazed watching this. You know, these cops that were doing the right thing. She was just sitting there with, like, her eyes big and everything. Like, oh, wow. As I kept on telling her more. And, okay, and now, you know, the reason that he has his gun drawn when he's pulling someone over is because that's a felony stop because they found out the car was stolen. You know, they don't do that normally. And she was like, oh, she was like, yeah, this is a lot different than what she faces. In Indonesia, the cops are corrupt, and everyone knows it. I'm sure we definitely have some corrupt cops and bad cops. Of course, we had that famous story not too long ago in the Carolinas of that one cop shooting a gentleman in the back 8 times. There is a line where certain actions become inexcusable. The man, it was again caught on video, is famous now all over the headlines, but caught on video and shot him 8 times in the back as he ran away, and didn't run away at a quick clip, by the way, so it's not like he could have caught up to, it's not like he couldn't have caught up to him. But I thought that was interesting. And you know, to that point, I was, again, we got way off track from Hillary here, but we were watching Cops, and there was this one woman who was, you know, getting stopped for drugs, and, you know, oh, well, because that's what you see all the time. It's either drugs or alcohol and cops. That's the main reasons people get pulled over. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I was like, my father was there, and he's like, oh, that's not, he's like, that's not a woman, that's a man. I was like, oh, I mean, you know, she looks maybe a little masculine, but I was like, that's probably a woman. You know, apparently he had some crack cocaine in his mouth. The cops are going to try to get it out of there before he swallowed it, and they knew it because he was kind of talking like this, so it was kind of obvious. And the cop goes, I see it in your mouth there, spit it out. And then they all of a sudden, you know, try to reach in and grab it before he swallowed it, because that's evidence, you know, to prosecute the guy. And they bring him down, and all of a sudden, this long flowing hair he had, it falls off, and it's a wig. And you see the guy, and all of a sudden, his voice, now we're talking, he drops about an octave. Oh, man, what are you doing? I was like, ugh. The prostitute. I was like, oh, lovely. I'm pretty sure Miss Clinton is a miss, not a man. Let's hope so. That could be a big turnaround in the election, that Mrs. Clinton comes out as Mr. Clinton. Maybe that has something to do with some different issues, but anyway, I digress. No, Mrs. Clinton is a Mrs., but That I just thought of that. That was funny. But I'm reading this article. The Clinton Foundation, let's get back to that, said late Wednesday that it will continue to accept donations from foreign governments during Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, despite concerns that gifts will create a conflict of interest for the Democratic frontrunner. Indeed, it does. FoxNews.com, by the way, is where the article is coming from. The foundation's board said that donations directly to the foundation would only be allowed from six governments. Funny how that occurs now when she's not even involved in government. She was Secretary of State, and she was taking money, at least the Clinton Foundation was, from a number of different governments that was far exceeding six. Those six governments are Australia, Canada, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, and United Kingdom. However, other governments could continue to participate in the Clinton Global Initiative, CGI, a subsidiary program that encourages donors to match contributions from others to tackle international problems without direct donations to the charity. So basically, they're opening it up for everyone to get involved. And I love how the Clinton Global Initiative will even take donations from countries that have different problems, like, oh, let's say women's rights, let's say abuse, let's say persecution of Christians. They'll take donations from them to actually go to a charity to eliminate those problems. I think there's some conflict of interest there, let alone Hillary running for the office of president. But why is there less conflict of interest here when Hillary Clinton is running for the office of president, not currently employed by the government, than there was when she was employed by the government as Secretary of State? Can someone explain that for me? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180 toll-free. The foundation also said it would stop holding CGI meetings abroad after a final session planned for Morocco in May, according to the Wall Street Journal. Ministers from any government would be allowed to attend and appear in panels at CGI meetings, and those governments would be permitted to pay attendance fees. I love how it says permitted. Those governments would be permitted to pay attendance fees of $20,000. Yes, they're permitted to pay an attendance fee. I'm sure that's just to cover the cost of holding the meeting in Morocco. $20,000 per government represented. That's got to add up to a nice little paycheck, doesn't it? Interesting. That is so they're not stopping, at least holding CGI meetings. They are stopping and holding their meetings abroad, but they're going to be able to have that little way for governments to still be able to get involved at a nice handsome fee. Ethics experts had called on the foundation to stop accepting all foreign donations for the duration of Clinton's presidential campaign. The journal also reported that the Morocco conference had been funded by a $1 million gift from a Moroccan state-owned phosphate export company. The paper also reported that a second planned CGI meeting scheduled for June in Athens had been canceled. Clinton, who resigned from the foundation's board last week, as if that matters, has faced mounting criticism over the charity's ties to foreign governments. Her campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination referred questions from the Associated Press about the board's decision to the foundation. Are we going to get back to Mrs. Clinton? Yes, we are, right here on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, 610-539-8255. Welcome back to It's a New Day at 1180 WFYL. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levins here. You can also flash me an email at michael@1180wfyl.com. Email in a flash, michael@1180wfyl.com. Let your voice be heard this morning. Thank you for listening to the program, by the way. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and always a pleasure to bring you the latest in the news, events happening across the ocean and right here in our own borders. That's right, on It's a New Day's 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Now, the Clinton Foundation, previously agreed, by the way, Hillary Clinton, that is, with the Obama administration to limit new foreign donations to the foundation while she served as Secretary of State. But at least six nations that previously contributed still donated to the charity during her four-year stint. In one case, the foundation failed to notify the State Department about a donation from the government of Algeria. Critics targeted the foundation's reliance on funding from several Middle Eastern governments that suppress dissent and women's rights. Concerns that Clinton focused on during her stint as Secretary of State between 2009 and 2013. The revised list of direct donors is not without controversy. The Canadian Department of Foreign Affairs, which has already given the foundation between $250,000 and $500,000, again, that would be according to the Clinton Foundation's donor scheme, has also pushed for the approval of the Keystone XL pipeline, which environmental critics say could spread carbon emissions. I didn't realize carbon could make it through solid steel piping. President Barack Obama has yet to decide on the project, which would span several U.S. states, but he has already vetoed one bill aimed at swiftly approving the plan. This is a Fox News article that was published today on Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. Hillary Clinton just can't seem to stop with the political faux pas. I don't know that the Democratic Party wants her as the nomination at this point. Everything from the emails, which are going to only amplify as her bid for president comes closer and closer and closer to the actual voting date. But that's only going to get worse. It's only going to amplify, and people are only going to scrutinize it more, which they should. I don't realize why sometimes people blame the media or blame citizens for being concerned about what their politicians are doing. In fact, there are few that are concerned enough about what our politicians are doing. It's our job to hold them accountable. We do that with our votes. And I want to be the most informed voter I possibly can be, especially for this election. But I have to say, Ms. Clinton's not doing a good job at lobbying for my vote. And I'm not even getting into policy. I'm just getting into plain old character, if that matters anymore today. Because there are plenty of media outlets who seem to not even care about all these different connections. The fact that she's taking donations from Muslim countries. That's right. They are Muslim-influenced countries. That's why they suppress dissent and women's rights, because of the influence of Islam in their countries. It's a fact. If you read the Quran, it's there. The only thing that's changing it is Western thought, so-called moderate Muslims. I honestly believe that Islam is a very oppressive religion, a very oppressive religion. It's a religion completely based on works, completely based on what you do. And that if that is all you live on, then you're going to have no reason for doing it. Eventually, people are going to thirst for more. They're going to thirst for more. You can't live under that kind of oppression without doing so. And people, I think Muslims, are looking for that possibly in Western civilization. I think it goes even deeper than that. I think that there's only one thing that's going to satisfy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what's happening, and that's why those Muslim nations are the way that they are. They are, again, influenced by Islam and why they suppress dissent and women's rights. But anyway, Hillary Clinton taking donations, or at least the foundation she's connected with, taking donations from those countries while she was Secretary of State, talking against all those things those Middle Eastern countries were found guilty of doing in the public theater. and no one has any problem. Hopefully some people have problem. I don't think that she'll get the nomination. I don't. I think there's just too much. Too much stuff. The Clinton Foundation is really the big story, and different, this is Fox News, but different media outlets have not let go of this either. CNN, the New York Times. Remember, the New York Times initially reported on the email scandal. They initially reported on that. So the mainstream media isn't letting this go either. I think Democrats are slowly turning their backs on Hillary. I think they are. I think that's how it's going to wrap up. But for your Ukrainian update today, let's shift gears. Ukraine, ally of ex-President Yanukovych, found dead. A Ukrainian opposition politician, Oleg Kalashnikov, has been found dead with gunshot wounds in Kiev, the latest ally of the former government to have died in suspicious circumstances. Mr. Kalashnikov had been involved in the anti-Maidan protests in support of the deposed President Viktor Yanukovych. It is not clear if he was murdered, if he was murdered or committed suicide. Police say an investigation has been launched. At least 8 Yanukovych allies have died suddenly in the last 3 months. Most of the deaths are said to have been suicides. It's a little too consistent to be suicides. However, officials say it was possible some were killed or forced to take their own lives. How horrible. Commentators in Ukraine have accused supporters as well as opponents of the current pro-Western government of involvement in the deaths. Violence is sometimes the only way to secure freedoms, but it should never, ever be used in an unjustified manner. We have to be violent sometimes. That's why we have things like war, in order to protect ourselves, because others don't could care less if we are protected at all. But we have to always, and this looks to me, this at least 8 Yanukovych allies have died suddenly in the last 3 months. There's foul play, I think. It smells of foul play. It looks at foul play. Ukraine's going through terrible things right now with their conflict, honestly, but with Russia. Not Russian-backed rebels, with Russia. Their conflict with Russia. They're going through some terrible things right now over there, and our hearts and prayers go out to the people. But subterfuge, murder. I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about just cold-blooded murder, which it seems that these would be, is not the answer. So that's the latest from Ukraine. We're going to have to wrap up the program for today, but thanks for listening. This is Mike Levins here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Again, email me at michael@1180wfyl.com. Ukrainian update. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you haven't already. I want to see you on our Facebook page. Post, chat, post different stories and people who come in studio. And if you have a business, by the way, that would like to be on Spotlight like we had with the Indian Creek Foundation, like them too, you could go ahead and let us know and maybe we'll have you on the air. Call in 610-539-TALK 8255. I'll see you next week on It's a New Day.